Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me on the program today. My website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and on that website, we talk about the foundation of all Scripture, which is the first five books. And I'm not talking about starting in the Gospels. I'm talking about starting in Bereshit, Genesis, the beginning. And when I say this is the foundation, is this was the beginning of the Word. This was the beginning of life. This was the beginning of everything. And Messiah Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, was right there during the beginning and all throughout the Old Testament and then in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And he even said, "You do not recognize me. I am the one Moses was talking about." And what I wanted to talk about today on the show was recognizing what we should be recognizing. When we hear that Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, died for our sins, what does that actually mean to you? You know, he died so we would sin no more, or so we would be able to identify sin and not desire to do it. And the identification of sin, the identification of the evil forces that be, do not want us to see and understand what sin is and the consequences of it. So they try to keep us from understanding how to identify sin and the significance of the consequences of the sin that we live. And many believers are under a really, really horrendous spiritual attack because they're not identifying. And it says in Hosea 4:6 in the Bible, you know, "My people perish for lack of knowledge because you have rejected my Torah and forgotten my commandments." It says, you can no longer be priest for me, and your seed will suffer. So the consequences are not only in our current life, but the consequences go down deep. They go down deep in the lives of our children and our children's children, because some people call it generational curses. I call it generational behavior. If we sin and our generations after us sin, we still got to suffer the consequence of sin. But what does it mean that Yeshua died for our sins and his blood cleaned them away? We get baptized and we're clean again. We're new again. And what exactly does that mean, and how does that help us? If we continue to sin, does that even mean anything? How many of you know that are listening right now what sin actually is? How would you define sin? And let me clarify something for you. Sin isn't something you think is wrong. Sin is something the Bible says is wrong. We see in the Bible the word righteous. Righteous means right. It means you're doing something right, but not right according to your own feelings. It's right according to our Creator's word. He tells us what's right and what's righteous. And the opposite of that is unrighteousness. Thus is sin. Now there's unintentional sin, and then there's intentional sin, which is pure wickedness. But regardless of which sin it is, there's still consequences. And if our Creator sent his Son to die for us, literally his only Son to die for us, don't you think that the consequences of sin are that severe and he wants us to avoid it at all cost? And I say these things because most Christians today do not fear sin. They fear man more than they fear our Creator. So I'll give you an example. Diseases. Let's say, well, cancer is not necessarily a contagious disease, but let's use Ebola, for example. A couple of years ago, there was something called the Ebola virus, and if you even touched a person with Ebola, you're getting this deadly disease. And it was quite common in Africa. There was a couple of cases in the United States and Texas. And you know, that's the extreme example. You could use the little example of the flu. So you see all these people getting a flu shot because they don't want to catch this cold. Now, if you're standing on a street corner somewhere and somebody's walking down the block and you hear through the grapevine that this person that's coming down the block has Ebola, you know, I can assure you, you're going to be running in the opposite direction to get away from this person. You don't want to be anywhere near them. In the case of the flu, if you're standing in a room and there's somebody in there that's very contagious with the flu, your first reaction is going to be, "I got to find a door and get out of here. I don't want to be in this because I don't want to catch this. I don't want this to happen to me. And this is contagious. Well, I am explaining to you today and telling you that sin is contagious. And the most contagion place you can get it is going to the common church today and listen to the common pastor today. The pastor preaching the word Christianity is the most virus-giving people out there. They're the ones that are the most contagious people out there, because many of them are teaching a word that is not of Scripture. They're not teaching people how to identify sin. You know, your reaction in your heart towards sin should be the same way it is towards a disease. So if you're standing on a corner and you hear somebody's coming down the block and they're a sinner, they're a wicked sinner, is your first reaction to run the other way as fast as you can? Or do you not take it as seriously? Oh, this person's coming down the block and he sins. Oh, this person's coming down the block and he has Ebola. You see how we give such extreme example to one and to the other one? We kind of take it. And this is what the Bible says, that, you know, he will spit those that are lukewarm out. The lukewarm he's not interested in. And, you know, we can't be lukewarm for him. So I would submit to you that the Bible is a story of the Messiah who saved us from death row, where we deserve to be. His blood covered us and gave us another chance. He gave us this book to get it right this time, so we're not put back there. But the book that he gave us might talk about what he did for us, but even more important is it helps us to understand why he did it. You know, he didn't die for us so we can continue sinning. He didn't do that. He died for us so we would desire not to continue sinning, or we would at least aspire not to sin. But we have to know what sin is. And when we have a church today preaching and teaching that the law is done away with, I will submit to you that that's teaching that sin is okay. So Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, didn't die so the law could be done away with. He died so we would upkeep and understand the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, and understand what righteousness meant, and understand what righteousness is. And if you call yourself a follower of Yeshua, or as you might call him, Jesus, well, I would submit to you, you need to study the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and stop listening to what man is telling you about the Bible. The Bible is the greatest gift our Creator left us. It's to understand why he gave his son to die for us, and to understand how to avoid sin. How not to suffer the consequence of sin. He loves us not just to give his only son to die for us, but he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to have to deal with the consequences of sin. And the shame and the real crime today is that people, especially believers, will not read this book every day and desire to read this every day. To desire. I mean, we got all these self-help books out there today. How to make a lot of money. How to improve your relationship. And all these other so-called self-help books out there. Well, the Bible is the world's greatest self-help book. The Bible is a book that teaches us how to avoid the consequences of sin. And how to be truly blessed. It clearly says in the Bible, if you follow my word, all will be well with you. All will be well with you. I mean, that sounds to me like a pretty good deal. We just got to follow his word and all will be well with us. You know, and then you have a lot of deception that the enemy pours into people that they're not able to identify what the problem is. The problem is, yes, we're sinners. We're just sinners by nature. We're sinners by nature. But that doesn't mean that our Messiah died for us as an excuse to live in sin. You know, even though we're sinners by nature, that doesn't mean it's okay to do intentional sin. Because he came and he covers our unintentional sin. But it says in the Bible there's no sacrifice for intentional sin. Meaning, if I do something that went against the word, and I realize it, and I'm repentant for it, and I struggle with it, and I try to overcome it, I have a repentant heart. That's what he wants. He wants our heart. And he'll help us overcome it in time. But if I'm sitting here planning wickedness, and I have no remorse for doing things that go against his word, that is wicked sin, according to the scripture. And something, according to the scripture, says there's no sacrifice for. And you might be thinking as a Christian, well, I don't plan sin. I don't intentionally sin. And I'll submit to you, if you plan to live against the word, you're planning to sin. For example, if you plan to every week to avoid what our Creator says to do, you're planning sin. If our Creator says not to do something and you do it, you're planning sin. It says in his word, do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions, but keep my commandments. You see, we hear certain words and we think that's not for us. We hear the word commandments. We hear the word law. We think that's not for us. But you know, you need to change those words to what they really are. The guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And you don't keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to be saved. You should be keeping them because you are saved. Our Creator died and set you free from jail, not so you would go out and get yourself in trouble, so you would go out and be blessed and be safe and tell other people about what he did for you and be a good example for who he is and what he did, and not go out there and live a life of sin and cover it up like it's nothing bad and sit in a church pew and tell people that abortion and homosexuality is wrong, but you go ahead and break the Sabbath, which our Creator calls an abomination. You go ahead and eat unclean food on a regular basis, but you say, well, let's not be legalists about this. Well, you go to your average homosexual or your average murderer, a doctor who's committed an abortion, and when they say, well, I don't want to be a legalist, how are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? You see, you can't just pick and choose what's popular today and decide, well, that's the thing I'm going to stand up for and completely ignore everything else. No, it's all or none. There's no neutrality with our Creator. So we have to understand that, and we have to believe that, and we have to identify that and identify intentional sin and avoid it at all costs. I have on my website over 1,000 videos talking about these topics to help people understand what it means when it says our Messiah, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. The way is the way of Torah, the guideline instruction of our Creator. The truth is the truth, not the lie of the deception of the enemy that's keeping us from identifying what sin is and what righteousness is. And the life is the life that we can live, the blessed life that comes through Yeshua Messiah and only through him. Hallelujah. So you can go there, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and check it out and see all the information that's on there. And I pray that you would make wiser choices. And if you want to meet with us, we meet locally here in Lake Worth, Florida, every Saturday at 3 p.m. And I just want to encourage you all to read your Bibles, get on my website, check out the messages. If you have comments or questions, you can contact me through the website. But go out there and understand we need to be more righteous. Shalom, shalom.